by the world that the elders have given them. They see too much hypocrisy in it. They see too many things that is wrong with it. And I think that the elders are going to have to realize that they simply can no longer browbeat youth into following its established path.
Welcome back to Sunset Politics. I'm Story.
I'm Molly.
Before we get started, we haven't really recorded since my birthday, which was almost a month ago. Since then, we've had another birthday in the crew. So congratulations, Molly.
Thank you. Fun fact, if you didn't hear last time, Story and I are both May babies. So that's very cool.
Yeah. Anything else cool that has happened since we last recorded?
I'm trying to think. Honestly, I think the most exciting thing is just that I'm almost done with finals. What about you, Story? What has happened and how have your finals been going?
Good. Well, my finals are all next week. They're supposed to be the week after, but I had to move them because I'm going to Jordan. My flight leaves next Sunday. So this is going to be the last episode that we record while I am stateside. Hopefully we still should be able to record while I'm there at weird times, but we'll make it work.
Yes.
Let's see, other stuff that's happened. Oh, yeah. Last time we talked about a research grant that I was applying for, and I got the grant, so yay! I'm going to be studying U.S. foreign aid to Jordan. Seeing how that works out, I'll probably give some updates as over the course of the summer. But yeah, I am super excited. It's gonna be so fun. It's the best way to learn a language, I've heard. So
yes,
I am excited.
I know. I think you're gonna have so much fun. And about like the learning the language, like it being the best way. My mom actually studied abroad in France when she was taking French in college. And she said that she got so fluent to the point where she like started dreaming in French, which is really cool. So you'll probably be dreaming in Arabic before you know it.
Yeah, a couple of people have told me that I'll be dreaming in Arabic.
Yes. That's very exciting.
Yeah. You know what else is exciting? The topics we have to discuss today. So we're going to discuss the debt ceiling, artificial intelligence, and we're going to do a little segment of What the Heck Were They Thinking? Which is the segment where we talk about dumb stuff that people do. So, I mean, I guess let's start with the debt ceiling, which sort of belongs in that segment because it's like, what the heck is Congress doing? but it's its own topic. So if you haven't been following the news, Congress basically passed a bill to extend the debt ceiling for 2 years. Like the day before, like it was necessary to do, like basically always happens with these things. Except it was difficult this year because the Republicans in the House demanded a bunch of spending cuts. And a lot of people were worried that we were going to default, which we never do. We always like get very close to it, but we never do. We've talked about the debt ceiling like a couple times on the show, and it's just like, not to be like too partisan, but I think it's just like one of the dumbest things in this country's government. Like, it's so for those that don't know what the debt ceiling is, it's basically just like an artificial cap that Congress says like the U.S. can't like take on any more debt to pay the things that it's already agreed to pay. So here's the thing: like Congress will like pass bills saying, okay, we have to like spend this money to do this thing, but they don't actually like pass any bill that attains the money for it. So it's just like the Fed's job to like borrow money. And this works. Like a treasury bond is like one of the most stable things you can buy, right? The U.S. would have no trouble just like continuing to pay its debts if the debt limit didn't exist. But like Congress basically just says like, no, like every like few years, you just have to like stop doing that. And it's just like, I think it's unconstitutional because the 14th Amendment says that, like, it basically says we can't default on our debt. There's some argument about, like, whether or not the debt limit counts as, like, a default in terms of the 14th Amendment. But I think it does. And even if it doesn't, I think the debt limit stuff is still dumb. And we should probably just get rid of it. But we're probably not going to, because people like Kevin McCarthy love just, like, threatening to default so that they can, like, force spending cuts. So, yeah.
And for listeners who don't know, what are some of, like, the impacts or consequences of this? Like, let's say they hadn't reached a deal. Like, what would be the impact or whatnot for, like, both our government and then, like, just everyday Americans?
So, like, if you have, like, a retirement account or, like, a bank account or, like, you own, like, treasury bonds or, like, stocks, or if you just, like, have money, like, that stuff is all going to get, like, less valuable. That's all good. That's, like, I mean, it's an oversimplification, but, like, basically, like, a lot of the world economy relies on, like, stable treasury bonds. A lot of, like, foreign countries abroad, that's kind of redundant, but, like, whatever. Their currencies are, like, pegged to the dollar. So they literally depend on, like, the stability of the U.S. dollar as a currency. And if the U.S., like, decide to, like, default, the, like, a lot of ratings agencies would have to, like, downgrade our credit, which would mean people would buy less government bonds, which would make it, it would actually, like, worsen the problem that the debt limit was intended to solve of, like, the U.S. not being able to, like, pay for things. It would, like, it's like, some complicated finance stuff that I don't really fully understand, but, like, basically, it would just cause, like, everything to get worse because so much of the world relies on the U.S. being able to pay back its debts.
That's very interesting. I didn't realize. I mean, I've read up on this, like, a little bit, like, day by day, just on, like, the news. That's on my, you know how you can have, like, the widget on your phone that has, like, the news? Like, yeah. There's a lot of news stories about this, so I was kind of reading through, but that's crazy. Like, it could impact so many people, even if it was in, like, small ways, just with, you know, devaluing retirement accounts and stocks. Like, that's very interesting.
Yeah, because a lot of those accounts are, like, they invest in treasury bonds because they're super stable. And they almost always give you the return because and part of it is because Congress knows that, like, it would be a disaster if the U.S. defaulted on it. So it always does it, like, right at the last minute before it would need to. Like, I think the warning from Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, was that the U.S. might default by June 1st. And this bill was, like, approved, like, the night of the 31st. So, oh, wow. Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah. Another, like, interesting thing to look at is, like, who voted for it. And it tended to be, like, the more, like, mainstream Democrats and Republicans both voted for it. And the, like, extreme far-right people and the, like, extreme far-left people in Congress didn't vote for it because the extreme far-right people wanted way more concessions and the far-left people wanted no concessions, which I want too, okay? I don't think there's any reason, like, why we should have, like, spending cuts attached to this thing. But that's, I mean, the bill included, like, some spending cuts. It's not, like, minor, it's, like, minor things. Mm-hmm. But it's, like, I don't know. I think it's just unnecessary.
Yeah, like, I know there was an article, sorry to those who hate CNN, but I just was reading it earlier, and it was talking about how, like, some of, like, the cuts or, like, caps that they put on were, like, non-defense spending, which, like, expanding work requirements for some food stamps recipients, you know, drawing back some of the COVID-19 relief funds and, like, other things like that, which, I don't know, some of those are kind of interesting, I guess. Yeah.
So, like, the non-defense thing, it's, like, Republicans are very against government spending until it comes to the military, and it's like, oh, yes, like, we need way more money for the military, which, like, I don't know, we really don't. spending we spend so much money on the military, and, like, there is, like, some value in it, but, like, not really. Exactly. In fact, there can actually be, like, if you're spending money on the wrong things, or if you're just throwing money, like, at the military, it really doesn't do much. Like, there were, I remember reports of, like, a bunch of money being spent to make tanks that we literally like couldn't do anything with, that the military never asked for. And it's literally just because like the like defense contractors wanted to like make money by making these tanks that no one was ever going to use. And there's something that like nuclear weapons. Like, why are we continuing to spend money on nuclear weapons? We like you only need about 200 nukes to like completely destroy a country. And we have like somewhere in the thousands. Like, we do not need to keep doing that. But that's sort of a tangent.
Oh my goodness. Sorry. My keyword is being weird. Sorry, I hope you couldn't hear any of that.
Okay.
Acting very strange.
All right. Do you have anything else to add before we move on to the next topic?
No, I don't think so. I think we're ready to move on to AI.
Yeah. So a few weeks ago, Sam Altman, who is this, I think, CEO of OpenAI. He's like the, pretty sure he's the CEO. He's like one of the top people there. OpenAI, if you don't know, is the company that made ChatGPT, which I'm sure you know what that is. And he was basically saying like AI is like fine, but like there are some things we need to do to regulate it. And then like a few weeks later, I think like last week, there was a statement signed by him and a bunch of other AI leaders that said, actually, AI is like a huge risk to humanity, which I agree with. And I'd go even further. I think that AI is actually going to like kill us all if we don't do anything about it soon. And I can get into like the reasons why. But I think like we don't really have to get into like the worst case scenario, which I do believe is pretty likely, to know that like AI is going to change the way that our society works. Almost certainly. We're already seeing like a bunch of advancements, and a lot of these like big advancements, like it can like make movies out of like text prompts. This stuff is like, it's pretty expensive, and it's going to get like cheaper eventually. We're probably going to see like the big stuff in AI for a while. But like there's a bunch of obvious ways that this could go wrong that aren't like doomsday scenarios. The first could be like disinformation, right? You can already see like those. I don't know if we've talked about them on this podcast, but like the memes of like Biden, Obama, and Trump like talking about like random stuff with AI made voices. You can do that. That technology is getting better, and it's already pretty accessible. So you could literally create like fake videos of people, or like at least fake audio clips that sound pretty realistic. You could fake being someone to like call like a company on the phone and get, you know, your password reset, stuff like that. We're starting to see like, we could see like AI used like for drones. That's like, I don't think it's like, it's pretty obvious to see like why giving, you know, an autonomous machine control over a weapon is like, might not be the best idea. So these are all like small scale things. And I think we really need to start having like a very frank conversation about AI regulation, because it is going to, I think it'll actually destroy us all, but it'll most certainly cause problems if we don't regulate it right. But, you know, keep in mind on the flip side, there is a lot of good that it can do. AI has been used in like research to treat sicknesses, and that's really cool. There's one of my professors is like working on like AI in environmental solutions. It's a tool that can be used for good or bad. So we do have to keep that in mind, but like the bad stuff is really, really bad. So yeah, you know, ChatGPT right now, like, might not be that great, but like ChatGPT is like you're seeing a very like nerfed version of what AI technology is actually capable of.
I think just from what you're saying, like something that's really like scary to me is like you said, like the whole idea that you can make like fake videos and audio of people, because I feel like I've talked about this before, but like as somebody who wants to be an attorney, I feel like a lot of times, like even though this is not the kind of like law I want to go into, like criminal law, right? Like you have evidence, like can some of that evidence then be made up and like prosecute like the wrong people even more, like, or just different things like that. I don't know. That's just very scary. And a lot of times too, like I know that they have some of those alternate, like other AI that or whatever that they have set up on like Canvas, like you were saying with ChatGPT, that can like tell if you use that. But I think that I know that like I see on TikTok even, they're making it harder and harder to detect if it's fake. And I think that it's over time, like you said, it's just going to keep advancing more and more. And at that point, it's like, how do you know what's real? I guess.
Yeah.
It's just scary. Yeah.
I was saying the other day, like a friend and I were like talking about like CAPTCHAs, right? It's like right now it's like the picture things that are like super simple for humans to solve, but like are hard for like older generation robots too. Mm-hmm. I wonder if like in the future to do that, you'll make something that is like so complex that a human could never solve, but an AI would solve instantly. And that's how you know someone's human.
Yeah.
Is if they can't solve it. I mean, that, you know, I don't know if that's actually realistic, but like the way we think about like security is going to totally change because of AI. Mm-hmm. A lot of like encryption, I was just thinking about this earlier today, is done by this one algorithm called SHA-256. It's basically like you input like a password, it runs through this algorithm and it produces like a string of like 256 ones and zeros, which is like, it's unique to every input, but you can't compute it in reverse. So like if you have this string of ones and zeros and you can't tell what the original input was, but that's basically like how passwords are secured, is by running it through that algorithm. But we don't actually have any proof that it's hard to solve in reverse. We just haven't found a solution to do that. But if an AI could figure out how to compute things like that in reverse, like then like an AI could steal all of your passwords. Like mm-hmm. No problem. But yeah. We can talk about the doomsday scenario a bit if you want.
The doomsday scenario?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, I kind of don't want to talk about it because, like, it sort of sent me, like, into a downward spiral when I learned about it.
Oh, no.
Because I think it's basically, like, a... I think there's a... Basically, the idea is instrumental convergence. Is that if I offer you $5,000, you'd probably take it, right? Mm-hmm. That's not because you value money as, like, an end goal, right? It's just that it's useful to do lots of things.
Yeah, exactly.
So like an AI, like no matter what its goal is, it's good to like gather a bunch of resources to prevent itself from being destroyed, to prevent its goals from being changed. So if an AI is like, it wants to do those things and it's smarter than us eventually, right? Eventually, like hypothetically, it would become smarter than us. Like the most optimal thing, it seems, would be to basically just destroy all of humanity, take all of our resources, like our atoms, and use them to like do stuff. The classic example is like the paperclip maximizer that just wants to like make paperclips. And so it destroys humanity and like builds giant paperclip factories. And I think that's basically the expected outcome, is if you create like an artificial general intelligence, which is like an AI that is like smarter than humans at things. And we're not there yet. We're not really close to being there, but like, that seems to be the goal of a lot of these companies, is to get there. And so a lot of companies, like a while back, I think OpenAI was even part of this, proposed like a 6-month pause on developing any system more powerful than GPT-4, which is like the model that like ChatGPT is based on. And I think like that's a good start. And I think like we probably need to like just not move past where we are now. Because we know, like, right now, we're probably, like, not going to die to GPT-4. But, like, beyond that, like, you never know, right? And it's sort of impossible to predict exactly how. Because it's, like, it'd be, like, predicting how, like, the best chess AI would beat you in chess. right? You mm-hmm. can't do that because it's like, by definition, it's better than you. So yeah, that's why I think we're all doomed. We're not, I don't think we're actually doomed. I think we can come together and realize that, like, we need to stop AI. Cause, and it's, if we do stop, we can probably figure out how to, like, align it to match our goals. This is why people talk about, like, alignment, is like making sure that AI is aligned with, like, its goals are our goals, basically. So I think we can do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, we need to.
I think last thing I want to say is, like, just like a reminder for all of y'all listening too, like, be very careful. Because I know, like, AI has also been used, like, frequently a lot lately to scam people. Like, I know that I've seen, sorry, but TikToks of people, like, they've gotten, like, phone calls from, like, who they thought was their mom or whatnot, like, asking for money or something weird. Like, there was, like, one about, like, this is, like, a crazy example, but there was, like, a ransom story where that, like, was totally fake, that these, like, people somehow got, like, her mom's voice. That probably won't happen to any, like, most people, but I know that there's just been, like, a lot more lately, like, that have to do with, like, technology, and I think it's just important to, again, like, just make sure, especially, like, with, like, banking and stuff, that you're not, like, I heard, this isn't really, like, an AI thing, but, like, I know Venmo, there's been a lot of issues with, like, scam and everything, and I think with AI, it's just so much easier to do that, so just make sure that y'all are being careful.
Yeah, yeah. I think we're probably going to have to go back to, like, analog security measures for a lot of things. Like, your computers are going to have, like, physical locks that you have to remember the code to get in. Because, like, an AI can't crack that. I think, like...
Is there now ways, do you know? Like, I know, like, on my laptop, I have, like, a fingerprint thing. Is there now ways where they can, like, hack into that as well?
I don't think there are right now, but, like...
Okay, but you, I guess there will be, probably.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, probably. There's probably ways to, like, generate fake fingerprints. Not, like, mass accessible, but, like, yeah. There's, the saying is, like, you know, the real technological change doesn't come from, like, new technology. It comes from, like, old technology getting cheaper. So I think, like... A lot of, like, the big AI advancements that we're talking about right now are going to become mass accessible in, like, I don't know, 10 years or something. And then we're going to see, like, the big societal change. But we're going to see, like, bigger change because, like, powerful people are going to have access to it before then. So that's, I think that's basically how society is going to adapt to AI. But, like, I mean, imagine, this is something that I heard. Like, imagine in the future if, like, instead of, like, when you go on Netflix, instead of there being, like, a bunch of, like, pre-selected movies, you just type in, like, what you want to watch that day. Like, give me, like, a comedy movie starring, like, young Brad Pitt, and they're, like, fighting robots. And it'll just, like, make the movie for you. Like, yeah, it's crazy. All right, I feel like I've talked, like, a lot. Is there anything you want to say?
Honestly, no. This was so interesting, though. Thank you so much. Like, I genuinely feel like I learned so much from, like, talking about AI. Like, I didn't realize how, like, extensive, like, this problem is getting, you know? Like, thank you. That was very interesting.
Yeah. All right, well, you want to introduce our segment?
Of course. So, welcome back to another episode of What the Heck Were They Thinking? So, first... I think we should start off with our favorite Floridian, I should say, Floridian pal, Ron DeSantis.
Yeah. Yeah. We were saying last episode that he was probably going to announce that he was going to run soon, and he did. In a Twitter space with Elon Musk there, and it was riddled with technical glitches. they just couldn't get the thing to work. Eventually, like, there was, like, one clip of, like, Elon, like, running over to someone else who was in the meeting and talking to them. And it was just, like, not very good. And Elon Musk, just in general, I think, I can't believe that, like, he actually bought Twitter. It's just, like, ridiculous. There's been so much stuff that he's done, like, wrong with the platform. there's a reason. Like, I thought about, like, trying to get into, like, Twitter and start, like, you know, being on there, but I was like, Elon Musk bought it, and I was like, yeah, no, I'm not doing this, and I'm so glad. Like, apparently for a while, he changed, like, the icon on the site to, like, the Doge from, like, the memes. like the little like dog.
Oh my gosh.
The like Erdogan in Turkey, there was an election there recently, and he basically said like, I want you to take down like anyone that's like opposing me on Twitter. And he just did, because he was like, oh, like they were going to ban Twitter in Turkey. Like, what else was I supposed to do?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I mean, I will just say, like, I'm kind of surprised that Ron DeSantis ended up deciding to put his name in the hat for 2024. But at the same time, I feel like there are so many people. I feel like we talked about this last time, but so many like loyal Trump supporters who like Ron DeSantis even more than they like Donald Trump. I mean, everyone who listens to this probably thinks I'm stupid because I always bring up TikTok, but there's a guy on TikTok who interviews people on all sides and will ask them questions about like, you know, politics and whatnot. And there was a guy who was, this guy was interviewing, and the guy was saying, oh, you know, what do you think turned me against Donald Trump? And the guy's guessing January 6th. He's like, no. The sexual harassment case. Nope. And he goes, it was him talking out against DeSantis. So I think a lot of these people are like even more like in love with DeSantis, which is crazy. I mean, obviously we will see like who gets like the party nomination, but I don't know. It's just, it's wild to me that DeSantis does actually have a lot more support than I guess expected him to. Do you have any like thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think like if you're a Republican, DeSantis is probably the wise choice.
Yeah.
I don't like him obviously that much, but like I think he probably has a better chance of winning against Biden than Trump did, because we already saw Trump lose to Biden. Mm-hmm. Which it seems like Biden is almost certainly going to be the Democratic nominee. Who are his challengers? Marianne Williamson, JFK Jr. Like, yeah, no. Or RFK Jr., sorry, not JFK Jr. I'm excited to see the Trump versus DeSantis fight. They're already starting to, like, take small jabs at each other. Like,
yes.
I think where Trump is actually... Trump might actually be moving to the left to like oppose DeSantis. It's kind of weird. Like he was saying like, oh, like they're always talking about like wokeness. I don't even know what that means. Because like DeSantis is like obsessed with wokeness. And it's just like, I don't know. I think Trump is, oh.
No, go ahead.
All right. Yeah. I think Trump is mostly self-interested. I think DeSantis is actually like interested in Republican politics. So it'll be interesting to see the clash there. I think Trump will go wherever he thinks, you know, the votes will take him. So,
I mean, I'm just surprised that DeSantis has time to run for president when he's busy banning books and majors in schools. You know, like I don't know how he found this time, but
true.
Good for him.
Yeah. It is like kind of ridiculous, like the book banning stuff. We should do like a whole episode on that.
That would be so,
that's just yeah. Like, yeah.
That would be really cool.
Yeah. I really hope we do not see any of that in the federal level.
Oh my gosh, no.
Yeah.
I think banning books is very dangerous, because I think that it, like, he wants to say, like, oh, these are inappropriate, but I mean... A lot of the books, like, I don't know if you've had time to ever, like, look at the list, but I know some of the books were, like, about, like, black, like, history of black Americans. And, like, I think that that's something that should not be erased whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think this was Florida. I think it was somewhere else. But, like, Mouse, the book about the Holocaust, written by, like, I think it was it a Holocaust survivor? Like, the son of a Holocaust survivor? It was someone who had like a direct experience with that, was banned because there was like one panel where someone like showed a nipple briefly. I don't think it was Florida, but like, it's all like part of the same movement. And most of it is, like, focused around, like, LGBT people, right? It's, like, mm-hmm. we don't want, like, kids getting groomed into being trans, which is, like, not a thing that has ever really happened.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's just, like, I don't know. Yeah, so I remember, are you just excited for the next one?
No, I was going to say something about the banned books, but I want you to finish your thought. I'm so sorry. I'm in shock right now at some of these books.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I remember, like, as far back as, like, elementary school, we had, like, banned books week where, like, our librarian would, like, talk to us about, like, the history of banned books. And it was, like, something that basically everyone agreed was, like, a bad thing. And now, like, we're seeing, like, basically people defending it. And, like, serious politicians, like, advocating for it. And it's just, like, in America? Like, I thought we had, like, settled this, like, a long time ago. But I guess not.
It's crazy. I mean, this guy banned The Handmaid's Tale. He banned this book and Tango Makes Three, a picture book about two male penguins raising a chick. Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
What are we going to do? There's two male penguins raising a chick. Like, how is that the top of your concerns? I just don't understand. Yeah, I mean, because also that's like erasure for, you know, that takes away from like LGBTQ plus families. Like, you know, kids should also be able to read books that are like, oh, that's like me. I have two dads or, you know, whatever it may be. Like, I think, you know, there's books that really are like meant for kids to feel like, oh, I have some representation here or whatnot, whether it's about race or anything. I don't know. Sorry, I'm just in shock. I was like rereading the list, yeah. And there's like more on there. Wow.
Yeah, it's like I can't wait to see like the debates between like Biden and DeSantis. Maybe like Biden's like, we need like healthcare and you know jobs and stuff like that, and then DeSantis is talking about like we need to like make sure our children aren't exposed to gay penguins because that is causing harm.
Well, hopefully Biden won't fall on the stage while he's debating, though, too. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's another good one. What the heck are they thinking? But anyways, do you want to move on to our next little news?
Yeah, for yeah, I know you were thinking? Super excited about this one.
Okay, you guys. Y'all listening. So, if you have not heard, our next What the Heck Were They Thinking is actually kind of amazing. So, Mary Trump, who is the niece of former President Donald Trump, is collaborating with the woman who she was a writer, E. Jean Carroll, who sued Donald Trump for sexual harassment and won some of the charges. And they're collaborating on a book, like an erotica book, that they're releasing actually on Substack, which is really funny, like some of their... like chapters. And they're also collaborating with law professor Jennifer Taub, I think is how you say her name, as well. So it should be really funny to see this book and how it plays out. But I guess that they agreed, like, no politics involved in the book. Like, it's just supposed to be, like, you know, interesting and, like, just kind of a fun project for the two of them to work together on. So I don't know. I just thought that was, like, really cool and just a really, like, my favorite news story that I've heard in the last, like, 2 weeks.
Oh, my God. The first part is out now.
Oh, my gosh.
It came out on Friday, apparently.
That is amazing.
No way. Okay. Substack is a great platform. You should follow.
Follow Story.
Follow me. Follow Mary Trump. Yeah, I just posted like an assignment that I wrote for a class to get extra credit on there, so go Ooh. Read that.
I'll go check it out. Y'all should too.
Yeah. Please don't actually, but like is there. Yeah.
Very excited.
I don't
stuff
read
going
much
on.
Like erotica, but like I kind of want to read this.
I
want
to read it just because they
about.
Wrote it, to be honest. I think it's amazing that they collaborate. Like, it's funny how when people have a common enemy, it works out, right? Like now they're like friends and writing a book together. Like, how cool is that?
Yeah. The craziest things in this world sometimes result in something that we can laugh about. And exactly. That's good.
Yes.
All right. Anything else before we end the episode?
I don't think so.
All right. You thought you were done with us, but here we are. We recorded most of this episode last week, but I never actually had time to edit any of it because busy stuff, life, things. And then something big happened in the news, and we were like, yeah, we got to cover this. So if you haven't heard, you can probably guess, Trump got federally indicted in the classified document scandal. So that's what we're here to talk about.
Yeah, it's wild. So if you did not know, just some background, last year, the federal government recovered over 300 classified documents from former President Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate. And this actually included some top secret items. And so these were seized by the FBI. And yeah, it's just wild because I was reading earlier on the New York Times, they had like a cheat sheet slash like read like annotated reading of the indictment like paperwork, and it was interesting because it sounds like a lot of the classified documents had to do with defense, and it sounded like Trump was actually bragging to some people just from like the statements they had, like, oh yeah, like I have this document, I could have unclassified it when I was president but I didn't. Just wild. What do you think, Story?
Yeah, the important thing to remember is that it doesn't actually matter whether or not the documents were classified, just that they were related to the national defense and he wasn't supposed to have them. So even if he could like declassify them through his mind magic, which seems to be his argument, it doesn't actually matter. And it might actually be essentially an admission of guilt because he's like basically saying, oh yeah, I had those documents. They were declassified. But if it doesn't matter whether or not they were classified, he's basically he's admitting he had the documents. Which like, it's not like they need him to admit it. There's so much evidence. If you look at the actual document, there are pictures of where the documents were stored. They were not in very safe locations. There's like lots of evidence that he was actually like you said, that he was telling people about them. That he was even giving away like sensitive military like plans to people. Which like all that is like extra. It's a crime to even have the documents when you're not supposed to. But yeah. And I've always said that of all the investigations against Trump, I think this one is the most solid.
You just, when you were talking about like the places that they were hidden, I just looked that up. We should put this on the Instagram for y'all, but there's literally a picture of like a fancy bathroom and just piles of boxes with all these documents.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, I think there's almost no defense that Trump has. There's very little.
100%.
It's so clear in like basically everything that he like took these documents that he wasn't supposed to, that he even did more than that he bragged about it, that he obstructed the investigation. They're like, the Justice Department sent multiple subpoenas that he didn't comply with. Even after they like, after they raided his house, they sent another subpoena saying there's extra documents, and they still were like, yeah, no, like there's none. And then they found them again. So yeah, it's just crazy.
I just can't believe also that he keeps acting like, oh, I didn't do anything wrong. Because I know with like the hush money case as well, like I know some people are speculating like, oh, well, he just turned himself in. Like, will he be arrested? B, like, will he just turn himself in or whatnot? But I know with, like, the hush money case in New York, he turned himself in, and then he pleaded not guilty and was released a few hours later. So I'm curious to see, like, how this process goes down as well.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to, like, throw him in jail. Like,
they probably can't, right? Because the whole thing here as well is, isn't this, like, I feel like you know more about this than I do. I was reading earlier, and it was saying something about the Espionage Act. Like, could he be... Like, is that kind of what some of this is based on as well? Like, some of these issues?
Yes, like, with him having them? The Espionage Act is basically... It criminalizes, like, the unauthorized retention of documents related to the national defense. Again, it doesn't matter whether or not they're classified, just that they're related to the national defense. So that's basically what the Espionage Act means. And that is like one of the charges that was listed, is doing that. So yeah, it in terms of like whether or not he'd be held pending trial, I don't think he would be, because if like especially if the department believes they have all the documents, he's basically just he's not necessarily flight risk because he's running for president, right? He's probably not going to leave the country that he's running for president of. So it's like he's probably not going to get arrested and like held before trial, but I mean, if he did get found guilty, he would go to jail.
I just want to read part of like the actual like documents.
Yeah.
Just so people can like understand how wild like this really is. So the document says, quote, in July 2021 at Trump National Golf Club in Bedminster, New Jersey, the Bedminster Club, during an audio recorded meeting with a writer, a publisher, and two members of his staff, none of whom possess a security clearance, Trump showed and described a plan of attack that Trump said was prepared for him by the Department of Defense and a senior military official. Trump told the individuals that the plan was highly confidential and a secret. Trump also said, as president, I could have declassified it, and now I can't, you know, but this is still a secret. And then a second example of him, like, very knowledgeable, like, he knows that these are, like, documents he's not supposed to be showing just anybody. In August or September 2021, also at the Bedminster Club, Trump showed a representative of his political action committee who did not possess a security clearance a classified map related to military operation and told the representative that he should not be showing it to the representative and that the representative should not get too close. So I feel like in a way it's kind of, it's right, it's funny, right? Like he knows he's doing something wrong because like these are, and like you said, like, the classified thing doesn't matter, but it's like the fact that these are like defense documents that like, you know, could risk, like have like national security risks, like, and he's just showing them to people and he knows that he's not supposed to be, but he's almost like, yeah, I'm gonna let you in on like a little secret. Like that's so careless.
Yeah, it's like, even if he does think that classification is the standard, he's sort of admitting that he's violating that standard also.
Yeah, right? Like, that's just wild. Well, and then, apparently also, like, Trump tried to, like, obstruct the FBI and the grand jury. And this is so funny. It says he, like, suggested that his attorney hide or destroy documents called for by the grand jury subpoena.
Yeah.
Like, what is wrong with this man? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That is just like wild. Yeah, wow.
I think there's almost no way that he gets away with this.
Oh, yeah.
Like, charges have been brought. Like, I thought his best way out was like if the DOJ decides not to press charges because they don't want to like get in like political trouble for it.
Mm-hmm.
But they've obviously, you know, decided against that course of action and they're actually pressing charges. And at that point, I think the evidence is overwhelming.
Oh, this is hilarious too. They have in the document as well, like his public statements on classified information.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Did you see this. That? Yeah. So if y'all haven't seen, they have like some statements that he made about like classified information and like national security. And it's funny because he like, I mean, I'm personally not the biggest like Hillary Clinton fan, but I feel like in this case he's being a hypocrite because he was saying like, oh, Hillary, she used like a private email server while she was Secretary of State, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's so bad. Like, she's a public figure. She needs to protect classified information. And then he literally went and did the same thing by keeping documents that risk like national security. Like, that's wild, the hypocrisy.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, this is the best one. Sorry, I have to read this quote. This is my two favorite quotes. First one, September 6, 2016, Trump stated, quote, we also need to fight this battle by collecting intelligence and then protecting our classified secrets. We can't have someone in the Oval Office who doesn't understand the meaning of the word confidential or classified. And then this is the best one. September 7th, 2016, Trump stated, quote, one of the first things we must do is to enforce all classification rules and to enforce all laws relating to the handling of classified information.
Oh my God.
The silence is loud.
Yeah. Wow.
That's wild. Yeah, if y'all like are interested in like reading more detail about this as well, or like just about like the indictment documents, it's like themselves. If you look up on like whatever search engine, Trump indictment, New York Times annotate, it'll be like probably the first thing that pops up, and it has like a whole thing of the document with like annotations on like some of the key points. It's really good, yeah. And y'all should definitely check it out.
Yeah, and I'll probably write a Substack article about it sometime in the next couple of weeks.
This is all just right. Wild.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, there was also some in the ballroom.
Yep. Yeah. Ballroom. There was like just like a random closet, I think.
Oh my gosh. Why are there so many?
I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
He also referred to them as his papers.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, anything else you want to add? I think I've said everything I have to say about this. This is wild. Me too.
It's pretty crazy.
I guess just make sure that you all stay tuned, because I'm sure we'll have updates on this in the coming weeks. And if you're interested, again, like totally check out Story's upcoming Substack article, check out the New York Times annotated article. Like it's just wild. I feel like no matter what side of the political, you know, side you fall on or whatever it may be, like this is just unbelievable.
Yeah. All right, well, thank y'all for tuning in. On that note, sunset out for real this time.